Welcome to another episode of In the Name of Service, a podcast committed to sharing the untold stories of those who selflessly serve. Each episode features an interview with men and women who have been called to a variety of service-focused roles, such as the military, law enforcement, ministry, volunteering, and more. You aren't likely to know the names of the individuals you meet here, but our hope is by the end of our time together, you'll not only know their stories, but possibly be inspired to write your own in some way. Humble in nature, but strong in character, these everyday men and women showcase what it is to truly be a servant. We're glad you're here. Now here's your host, Dr. Barb Thompson.
Welcome back to another episode of In the Name of Service. I'm so glad you're here with us today. Today I have Mike and Carrie Pruitt with Redeemed Global Ministries. They're the founders of Redeemed Global Ministries. I'm so excited to introduce them to you and for you to hear their story. I met them briefly while I was in Stillwater, Oklahoma, visiting with my family, and I just kind of had the opportunity at that point to be a guest at the church that they attend, and I was privileged to be able to hear some of their story. And then you guys know how it is. Once you're inspired by someone, you just tend to follow along because it helps you in your own walk. And so I've been inspired by these two, and I'm so happy that you guys are here. Welcome.
Yeah, thank you very much for having us.
Yeah. So to start us off, why don't you guys just tell us a little bit about yourself?
Carrie Pruitt, and I do live in Stillwater, Oklahoma. I've lived here for 4 years, and I'm originally from Michigan, moved to Oklahoma for a couple of years, got married, moved to Texas for 15 years, and came back to Oklahoma, and I just love it here.
And I'm Mike. We've been married 25 years, and we have 3 children. We're embarking on a new phase of marriage, of empty nester. So that's
exciting.
Yeah, exciting and different.
I didn't know what you were going to say.
Yeah, all
different and weird.
All at one time. It's exciting and different, and to be focused on children for 20 plus years. And then it's like you get to rediscover why you originally got married. So kind of focus on each other again. So it's been life since tends to have those moments that as you get comfortable, you move into a new phase that puts you back on your toes.
Yeah.
But it's been fun.
That's so exciting to hear. I'm just smiling from ear to ear. I'm still in the thick of it. You know, my youngest is 5. And the Lord was just so great to me to have me always in like a perpetual state of toddlerhood. You know, I had my daughter, and then not until 5 years later did I have my son. And then almost 6 years later, we had little Nathan. He was such a surprise. But but to hear that is exciting for me. When your kids are up and out, there's just other things that are going to fill up your time. And one is this new adventure, and I want to talk more about Redeemed Global Ministries, and I have 100 different questions about just how you got into ministry in general and mission specifically. But first, let's hear a little bit more. Let's dive kind of into the past, if you will, for just a bit, and hear about your upbringing. What relationships or events do you each feel helped shape you into the people that you are today?
I think for me, I'm the youngest of 7, and I grew up.
That's a lot of kids.
That is a lot of kids. Yeah. We're on the baseball team, pretty much. But I grew up watching my grandmother host family holidays. And with that many kids and cousins, I mean, it really was a function. And so my mom also took on that gifting. And as I was growing up, we hosted a lot of the neighborhood cookout. And so I just kind of naturally stepped into loving hospitality. I love hosting people. you know, we cooked together as a family. My mom was a great cook. My grandmother was a great cook. And so I love feeding people. I love breaking bread around our kitchen table, having people over. To me, that's really where you get to know people. Mm-hmm. And the bonus is I just love serving people. And that carries over, I think, into missions as well. Because it's really about serving the people that you come alongside.
Yeah. And did you always have a sense of that? Like, as you grew up, you said it felt kind of natural to you, but what did that look like in like the beginning of adulthood?
Beginning of adulthood, I mean, I would host get togethers with my friends, like through high school and stuff like that. And then as I got older and started attending church, I just naturally gravitated to being a greeter or the information center. Just wanting to help people naturally.
Yes.
You've always hosted dinners.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's so nice too. I mean, you guys have kids, but for your home to be somewhere that, you know, your kids know anyone's welcome to come and sit around the dinner table. And I know from, you know, visiting your church that it's, you never know what kind of conversation you're going to get into with a stranger while you're both pouring a cup of coffee.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Right.
Good stuff right. There. Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm. What about you, Mike?
Yeah. It's funny when you get older and you look back and you can kind of see that you were created with the gifts and talents that you have from the very beginning.
Yeah.
You see those qualities. Because I remember my mom telling me that I was after her a lot to go visit nursing homes when I was little.
Wow.
That I wanted to, I felt bad for the older people that were there alone.
How did you even know about nursing homes?
I think that came from my grandmother required home health. And we kept her. She stayed at our house for
how
long of a period it was, a year or two. And so maybe that opened my eyes to it at a younger age, gave me a sensitivity. But I see that sensitivity was part of me from a young age.
Mm-hmm.
But the flip side of that is that it opened me up. That sensitivity opened me up to bullying at school and being picked on. And so that is definitely part of my story. It opened my eyes to others that were in difficult situations or struggling. At the time, it definitely wasn't fun. But now looking back and looking at these experiences and how they've led me to where I am now, I see the benefit of them. And they also kind of created a sense of unworthiness, I guess, or not being enough.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I was in high school, I did feel the call into ministry. But then that feeling of unworthiness or not being enough kind of overshadowed it. And I kind of felt like Moses. I really, really can identify with his story when God shows him all of these things, answers all of his questions one after the other. And even after answering every single one, Moses goes, please send somebody else.
Yeah.
And I think that's where I was in high school, college, that I had that same mindset. And so to be back where we are now, to feel the fulfillment and the peace, it's like I was where I was supposed to be.
Right.
So it's been very nice.
Right. Yeah. It's such a luxury to be able to look at the past you know, and to have the experience when you're in it. Just like you said, sometimes it doesn't feel like a gift. Sometimes it's the one thing that makes you feel like you're different from everybody else. It's the one thing that makes you feel like it makes life more difficult for you, or it's the one thing that keeps you from feeling a sense of belonging. And so I think it's really important for people to hear that it wasn't always a blessing. It felt like a burden.
Yeah.
So how did you alluded to kind of feeling this sense very early in life? So, you know, just walk us through those younger years and how you ended up, you know, where you guys are today.
Well, like I said, I didn't pursue the nudge that I felt in ministry. So I bounced around a lot in college trying to find out what the right major was. I always wanted to help people. That was my overarching goal. And to me, that was most directly tied with being a physician. So that's where I started, was to be, going to pre-med. I've always loved children. And so I wanted to be a pediatrician until I didn't make it too far, because I got to chemistry like 101, and I was like, oh my goodness, I do not like science. How am I going to do this? And so then I think I moved to psychology. I thought I could be a child counselor, and ended up with a minor in psychology. But then finally landed in a completely different college at the university, in the business college, and ended up with a degree in finance and portfolio management with a minor in psychology. I don't know how all that, almost a minor in French. Yeah. I don't know. I took the interesting route.
Yes, so many of us do. Yeah. I think, you know, I'm biased, but I think psychology could be a minor for any career field.
Yes. Oh, it's
but
helpful.
Finance certainly is like a 180 from, you know, the medical and mental health field. So,
yes. So during that time in high school, I think when I was filling the tug into ministry, I went with our youth group to a mission trip to Brownsville, Texas, just on the border with Mexico. And we would go across into Matamoros. And that definitely started the curiosity and love of missions and helping others. In college, we had several mission trips that I attended. And then, of course, got into career and building career and raising children. But I reconnected into missions with our church in Texas. They were helping build a children's home in Honduras. And so I joined that team in 2010 and then returned in 2011. And it's so funny looking back how all the connections are made and how, like you said, how you ended up where you are now. Mm-hmm. Because it was that trip in 2011 that Jim and Sandra Murphy, they were participants on the same team that I was, but they are now directors of that children's home, and they're full-time missionaries in Honduras. And so they reconnected with us after 10 years.
Yeah.
It was 2021. Yeah. And kind of reignited, it definitely reignited the fire within me for missions.
Yeah.
And that's how our church got connected to missions in Honduras. And I think there's been 5-6 teams taken since that time through our church. Jim and Sandra had been prayer partners with a children's home in Western Kenya. And Sandra got to the point that she said, you know, I just really need to meet these this family face to face. And so they ask us and some others if we would go with them. And that's when how we got connected with Kenya. We just fell in love with this family. We were taken back by the need and the lack that they have. But on the flip side, there was so much joy.
Yeah.
And so much faith. When we walked through the first time, and there's 30 children there, and a family, it's the mom and her 5 adult children, and then they have a couple people that help them. I think there's 8 adults. But we walked through, we didn't see any food at all, anywhere. And they lived day by day, believed that God would provide even each meal.
Right.
Yeah.
To go. I have grown so much in my faith. Try to tell them, but I don't think they realize what they have done for me, that they're serving me just as much as I'm serving them, helping me just as much. So that's the short story.
Yeah, I know there's a million, 100 at least, maybe not a million, 100 stories within that story. So Carrie, did you see yourself going into missions? I mean, when you met Mike, did you know about this kind of inkling that he had, this desire in his heart? No. Yeah.
No, not really. I never had a desire. In fact, even when he went in 2010, the first trip, we had just brought our kids home, 2 of them from Russia in 2002. And then we had adopted Michael in 2003, 2004. So our kids were little when he went, and, I was absolutely willing to support him in going and praying for him while he was on, and he came back and was just so in love with it. And so the second trip, he invited me to go, and I couldn't do it. I just, seeing our kids in the Russian orphanage and knowing what I would be walking into.
Right. Your heart. Yeah.
No. And so probably in 2019, 2020, he started talking again about, that fire. I just feel the fire for missions burning back up inside me. And we had no idea that Sandra was having the same feelings of, I probably really need to reach out to Mike, but that's weird because she didn't know me. Since I've been going on the trips. And she's like, that's weird. I'm not doing that. He's married. I don't know his wife. And so, the Lord really prompted her heart several times to reach out. And then she was like, okay, fine, I'll do it. And it was really perfect timing as to how it worked out. And so we took a scouting trip in 2022 and with our then missions director, just to see what it was like. And that's when I fell in love with missions in Honduras. Honduras will always have a special place in my heart. All those kids, we pray for each of them by name. They pray for us still.
And the culture.
The culture. Yeah. We just love it. So that is how I fell in love with missions.
Yeah. And we've always, looking back, we talked when, even before we were dating, when we were friends, that we had a passion for orphans and we wanted to adopt. We knew that early in our friendship.
Yeah.
And then when we experienced difficulty having our biological child, then it was a fast transition, actually. Well, okay, well, we'll accelerate that desire to adopt. And so it's always been there. It's been an underlying love of ours.
Yeah.
And that's another cool thing to look back and see. Okay, that was always there. This is what we're now doing, and this is where we're called to be.
Yeah. And even so, we got back with Zachary and Lilia, and I was volunteering at a crisis pregnancy outreach in Tulsa. And the director called me and said, hey, I know you have experience with adopting older children. And so that's how Michael came to be part of our family is we weren't looking to adopt again, but we knew it was right when she called us and said, hey, we have an opportunity. And so we said, yeah.
Hey, we could only talk about your journey with adoption, honestly, like, and we may have to come back to that. Because yeah, I've known people who have a like you early, they've thought, I really want to adopt. I want, like, they have a heart for orphans. So, well, let's talk about in either of those kind of facets of your life, missions and parenthood. What for you has been most rewarding so far? Is there a particular thing or time or event that comes to mind?
For me, I guess the overarching thing that I think of is just seeing the transformation in people, generally. You go into missions and you're solely focused on serving, helping wherever you're going. Hopefully you're open to doing that in whatever opportunities that present themselves, and you have that flexibility to just whatever that looks like, you're willing to jump in. So that's typically everybody's focus. But then once the week or the 2 weeks is through, to see how the people within the team have been transformed as well. That's the part that people don't often expect. So it's so rewarding to see it. I remember the first team we led and just the beauty of standing back as the leader of the team and seeing it happen from your team members and seeing it happen to the people that you're serving as well. It's incredible. I think for me, I was in Kenya in July. I was taken by Simon, my main point of contact in Kenya, to the high school that two of the children from the children's home attend. And I thought I was going to be sharing with two classes. And so that's what I had mentally prepared for. It ended up being the whole high school. Each child brought a chair from I don't know where. And because there was 700 plus kids out in the main courtyard, and they had set up a speaker system for me to speak. They had brought in a lady to lead worship. And this was at their high school. And I had to really pivot in my organizational and planning mind, because this was not what I was expecting, and was honestly very intimidating. But to see how intent they were, they were focused on what the message that was being said, and see the response that they had to the message was mind-blowing. And for me personally, I don't feel like I'm the same person after that event.
I can't imagine that you would be. Just to put a little bit more color to it, what can you explain just in simple ways? How do you see people? What does the transformation look like? If I was to know a person and then this transformation happened, how might they be different, you know, if I saw them later?
For me, I see in them a new purpose, a new freedom that they're walking in, per se, more confidence. Things aren't as scary as what they first thought they were going to be.
Yeah.
But to see them wherever we are, whether it's Honduras, whether it's downtown Stillwater, wherever we're at, to see them walking in that purpose and confidence in that new passion, it gives them a boldness. You know, they stand up a little straighter, their shoulders are back a little bit, their head is held a little bit higher. And in no means is it arrogance, it's just a new purpose.
Yeah, I've seen that. I think of the Kenyan people, and there's just life is hard there. Death is very prominent. Even on Sunday, I got a message that one of the children from the neighbors of the children's home, I think he was 7 or 8, and I'd met him. He died of pneumonia last Saturday. And that's very common, and people shouldn't be dying from these. But then they go through these difficult situations, and I think they take them on as part of their identity, and that it's something that they have caused, or somehow they're being punished. That this is God's plan for their life. And that's very prominent in Kenya, and it's not too odd of a situation here as well to run into someone that may have taken that on. And so that's one main purpose that I have in Kenya, is to just share the love of Jesus. And to share that our God's not mad at them, that our God loves them, our God has a plan for them, and it's a big plan, and it's more than they could ever imagine. And once you can pivot their mind and shift it, that to me is when the transformation takes place.
Yeah,
because they're no longer buried in these difficulties that they've experienced.
Yeah. What do you think, Carrie, I'll let you go first. What's been most challenging? I mean, clearly you can see the just seeing one person transformed into behaving with hope could change anyone's life. But obviously it comes with some risk. It comes with some vulnerability, lots of time, lots of effort. What do you think has been most challenging for the two of you as you've stepped into, you know, this new journey?
I think for me, probably seeing the need that people have.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we're a country of such wealth overall.
Right.
Not that there's not great need in America, there is, but seeing people in need, that when they say they don't have food, and this, of course, is here too, they're not saying they just don't have their favorite kind of Doritos.
Right.
They're saying they literally have no food. And so knowing that, you know, it's hard when you can't fill somebody's need. And so seeing people struggle is really difficult. And knowing that we can't do it all, you know, it takes everybody. It takes everybody, to change the trajectory for people. And I think for me, that's the hardest part, and just being patient and allowing time and people to come alongside us, and catch the vision of, you know, these are real needs. They're not hyped up. They're not anything like that. So yeah, that, I think for me, that's been the biggest challenge.
So your response to the challenge has been like a developed patience. Was patience your first response, or like, I know your first response is heartache, but Yeah. How do you feel like you overcome the challenge of just seeing so much need and not being able to fix it all?
Faith, really. Because I really have to wait on the Lord because I want to do it all.
And yeah.
In fact, that's a flaw that I have in my personality. You know, it's just easier for me to do it. So just let me do it.
Right.
And so I can probably be overbearing at times. But I have to wait on the Lord because if I'm doing everything, I'm blocking a blessing from somebody else. And so, you know, I have to have faith because God's done it once. I know he's going to do it again because he is faithful. And so that has really grown my faith. And I've learned that too from the Kenyan family. You know, the Amandas, that's really all they have is their faith.
Right.
And when they believe, man, they believe 1,000% that it is going to come to pass. And it does. It does because they don't have a debit card in their back pocket, but they have Jesus. And
yeah,
they have just taught me that faith, he's done it before, he's going to do it again.
So good. And and go ahead, Mike.
Oh, I was just going to say that reminded me of a story about Beatrice and Samson. Her husband were the one that started this ministry in Kenya 30 plus years ago.
Yeah.
Samson and they both had a passion. They started a church under a shade tree, but then moved to a tent and eventually had a permanent church. And during that time, they were taking in orphans continually because it is a mind-boggling problem in Africa that you can't even imagine. But that has been their heart ever since pretty much they were married. Samson passed away in 2020. Mm. And since that time, it's been difficult for the family to continue the ministry with the orphans and the church, and Samson's grave is in the back part of the yard. And so I was standing over his grave and I guess I was talking to him, you know, asking him what his dreams were and how could I help. And one of the family members came up to me and they said, you know, the people of the village, they told him he was crazy because he had all of these visions and dreams of what he wanted. And they said they were God-given dreams. But they told him, how are you going to do this? You're a nobody.
Right.
You don't have any money. And they said, all of his dreams are coming to pass.
Mm.
And that has just stuck with me. I'm just so thankful. And I think that hopefully all of us can take hold of that because that's not unique to just Samson.
Right.
Yes.
And how many times do we have these dreams inside of us, aspirations?
Yep.
And people tell us that we're not seeing clearly.
Yep.
They're there for a reason.
Right. Yeah. And it gets so hard too, because I think even younger now, I just don't listen. but even to myself, sometimes you can't,
right.
You know,
right. Exactly.
Cause I'm the one saying like, probably shouldn't be trying that. You know,
yeah.
Probably going to embarrass yourself. Yeah. Like you're probably not qualified. Right.
Yeah.
You know, what will they think? All those types of things.
Right.
But as I kind of ventured out as a young adult, I remember even the people closest to me were the ones who were telling me, or not maybe explicitly, but expressing their doubt. And, you know, I think that your story brings to light that, like, the plan is God's. the plan is God's. And he is all powerful. He can do anything that he wants with whomever he wants. And I'm just one of those whomevers. So, you know, it doesn't have to be me being great to to go forward with a dream that I have. But if the seed's in me, like, anyway, let me ask it in this way. What do you think? Because you had this whole career, you guys were fine, right? Like, you were already, I'm using quotations here, like, doing your part, right? Like, you were full-time parenting, taking care of your family, you had adopted children, you were, you know, doing good things, we'll just say that, right? But what do you think is the danger of playing it safe? Because I think there's things that we feel comfortable, like, okay, I feel comfortable enough that, like, that's not so much risk. I'll do that and I'll feel good about it. I'll feel good about myself. But, like, I'm still kind of denying that deep-seated desire that I have to impact the world with, you know, gifts that have been, you know, given to me. What do you think that danger is for playing it safe?
I am a very safe person. And so I did not say yes to a lot of things. And so I feel like the danger is you're missing out on life, honestly. Because God challenged me 2 years ago, or no, it was just last year, year and a half ago. Just say yes, just say yes. And that's scary for a person who likes to live in the comfort zone. And I was obedient to it. And, you know, I met friends that I didn't know before and we're good friends now. I've been on mission trips. I've served people in the community at Walmart. I've just stepped out of the comfort zone and I feel more alive today than I did when I was 30.
Mm-hmm. Isn't that crazy?
Yes.
Because what you're saying is, like, the fear kept you because the fear was saying, like, it's not worth it. Like, there are bad things will happen. And then what you're saying is, oh no, that's a lot. Like, it's the opposite.
It's a lot.
I love that.
Yeah. Yeah. Carrying a yes in your heart. Yeah. Will open so many doors that you never expected to open. You didn't even know were there to be open. It'll create relationships that are new, and different. And yeah, you'll just be in a totally different mindset.
And so cool that you guys get to do it together. Like, so cool. As I just see you guys looking at one another and I'm like, what a blessing just to do it together, to grow together, you know, to have like that partner that you can, you know, just share that with. So let's say a couple more things before we wrap this up, but let's say that there's somebody out there and they're like, yeah, like a seed's been planted. I can't get this thing out of my head. I have trouble sleeping at night. I know I'm meant for something maybe in addition to the things that are presently occurring in my life, but I just don't know like how or where to get started. What would your advice be for them?
It gets back to my personality that I want to make the right decision. I want to start off with where I'm supposed to be and not have to change. And so to analyze it, and then you've heard of analysis paralysis. And I think maybe a lot of people are stuck in that paralysis. Mm-hmm. So I would just encourage them to start knocking on the doors, you know, finding where it is that can best utilize the gifts and the talents that they've been given, because everybody has such unique gifts. And I say that because that's what we finally did. We experienced a very difficult situation that we didn't know what to do. Mm-hmm. And it it took us out of life for 4 or 5 years. Mm-hmm. And so we had to choose to get back into life and to start serving. And at the time, we had moved here to Stillwater. They had an opportunity to, they needed life group leaders.
Yeah.
And so we said, yes, we would serve in that area. And that's really where it started.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Was it our perfect calling? No, but it led us to where we are today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just giving that initial yes, like mm-hmm. Carrie said.
Yeah.
And keep knocking on doors, pursuing it, not standing back,
mm-hmm.
Getting overtaken by our circumstance,
right.
You know, changing our mindset. Like I said, that I like to do for the Kenyans, we had to change our mindset
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
start focusing on others. And that's,
yeah.
There's healing in serving.
Healing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's easy to sit in our circumstance. But it takes strength and courage to get up off the sidelines,
yes.
to get up off the bench and
yes.
to plug back in. And I think serving is really, as easy as loving people where they're at and connecting
mm-hmm.
with them. And
mm-hmm.
so, you know, you could start off with a random act of kindness. You know, say hello to the elderly person at Walmart or Aldi, or
right.
give somebody
right.
your cart and not get your quarter back.
Right.
You know, or if you have a local soup kitchen, you could, you know, take your kids there and serve meals on a Saturday, or a retirement center. You know, it's a great opportunity to take kids, do a craft day, you know, take them flowers and put them in little vases. You know, that's one of the things that we've done. There's so many ways to get started. And like Mike said, it may not be the perfect fit, but you're doing something to bless others and you're learning more about yourself in the process.
Yeah. Yeah.
It will lead to bigger things.
Yes. I had an experience last week where I didn't even think I was doing anything. I was just encouraging someone at the gym. I said one thing, you know? And the next day, they came up to me and they said, I just wanted to thank you for encouraging me, those words that you said. And I almost felt embarrassed because I wasn't even trying. Like, I wasn't, you know, and I'm like, well, let me make it, you know, let me say some more things because I, you know, I was just throwing it out there, you know. And she said to me yesterday, you showed me a picture of Jesus. And I was like, what? It was just a comment, you know?
Yeah.
So never underestimate the small acts
exactly.
and where they could go for you or somebody else.
Right.
Love it. Okay. How do people find you?
We do have a website that we update redeemedallministries.com. A Facebook page. It's under Redeemed Global Ministries. And those are probably the easiest way. They can mm-hmm. always email us at info@redeemedglobalministries.com, but all that information is on the website,
mm-hmm.
the Facebook page.
Yes, and I will just say, if you go to either place, but I do recommend go to their Facebook page, you're going to be encouraged. Whether you have any interest, you know, in Kenya or in missions, you're going to be encouraged. And I would just say, you never know what's going to, you know, spark whenever you just start to surround yourself with people who are taking those leaps of faith.
Mm-hmm.
Now, kind of getting back to like a little bit of advice for others, if they feel like maybe they want to dip their toe, you guys have some opportunities. You've got a trip coming up in January.
Mm-hmm.
You've got ways that people can sponsor children. So tell me a little bit about those and then I'll let you guys get to the rest of your day.
We do. We have ways that you can sponsor a child, and it's $50 a month. And that is on our website. as well. And our trip is coming up mid-January, I believe. We're looking at dates still, but right now we're looking at mid-January. And yeah, if anybody's interested, send us an email or message us on Facebook Messenger, and we'd love to get you more information.
And there's also trips over Memorial Day through church, but it's it's going to take the church group over. That's open to non-church members. Memorial Day, there's another one. If there are groups of people, we can always create a team. We would love to do that. If there's people who wanted to go together. I also want to piggyback on what Carrie said, is that there's partial child sponsorships. Maybe $50 is too big of a chunk out of your budget. You can do a partial, whatever fits in your budget. Right. We're really trying to raise money with their education and their nutrition. It's lacking so much before not all of the children were able to go to school. Every single one is in school. Message from the headmaster. The best group of kids in the school is the best place for me to hear that. They are so excited to be in school and learning.
And yes, you don't have to sponsor a whole child at $50 a month. We have somebody that gives $5 a month. So every person, you know, purpose in your heart, what the Lord has purpose for you to give. And it all makes a difference. It really, really does.
There's new ministries happening through the schools. Spoke at high school, that kind of opened up the school ministry. And so there are needs within the schools. Shelving, tables and chairs in the libraries. Their schools, I'm amazed with the dedication of the teachers and the administration. But their facilities are different. So if we could put them in those areas too, it would be incredible.
Okay, there you go. Lots of opportunities. That's exciting. Well, Mike and Carrie, I think I've taken up enough time today, but I just sincerely want to thank you for the way that you're serving and the way that you're inspiring others to serve, and for being here today. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thanks for the opportunity.
Hey, everybody. Thank you for joining us for another incredible episode of In the Name of Service. If you enjoyed today's episode, please like and subscribe. And of course, feel free to share with those you feel would like to be inspired. Have a difference maker in your life that you'd like to see featured? Reach out to Dr. Barb Thompson at inthenameofservice@gmail.com. We'll see you next time.